makers of X-Lax, the original chocolated laxative, present Strange as It Seems. Not every mother wants her son to be president of the United States. But just the same, it is fun to plan ahead for your children, isn't it? But you know, Mother, their day-to-day needs right now call for your most careful thought. And important as anything else is the laxative you give your children. First, is it pleasant to take? And even more important, is it a good laxative? Well, X-Lax is pleasant because it tastes just like delicious chocolate. And as for being good, for more than 30 years, wise mothers have been giving X-Lax to their children because it's mild, gentle, dependable, and thorough. Above all, because it's a correctly timed laxative that takes 6 to 8 hours to be effective. Therefore, it's kind to young systems. One more thing, Mother. X-Lax is just as good for the grown-ups as for the children. So the next time you pass your druggist, stop in for a box of X-Lax, won't you? 10 cents and 25 cents a box. The Pirate's Revenge. Spanish doubloon. The skull and crossbones. Treasure Island. Who is not thrilled by stories of the pirates of the Spanish Main? No matter what sins they committed, these pirates were reckless, glamorous figures, even in the days when they infested the Caribbean. Listen to the story of Jean Lafitte, the pirate, and Claiborne, governor of Louisiana. New Orleans, not long after the Louisiana Purchase. Jean Lafitte traffics in stolen goods and has a fleet of pirate vessels to do his bidding, but owns a blacksmith shop as a blind to cover his dishonest schemes. Governor Claiborne is indignant.
I tell you, something must be done about Jean Lafitte. He openly boasts that he, not I, is the real governor of Louisiana.
But what can we do, Governor? Lafitte owns the militia and the police.
Ah, you merchants wink at Lafitte's dealings because you can buy goods from him at low prices.
Now, you can't accuse me. You know I wouldn't do anything like that.
I'm going to post a notice offering a reward of $500 for his capture. That's what I'll do.
Why, you can't do that. $500? That's a good round sum.
Aye, and there's not many that won't try to bring him to me for that figure.
You're
tomorrow
right,
morning, you'll find the notices posted all over New Orleans. Ah, then what will our proud Jean Lafitte do?
Yes, sir. I'd like that money.
Ah, Lafitte is through.
Good for Claiborne. He's trying to get rid of Lafitte.
Hey, look over there. Someone just finished posting another notice.
Another notice?
Oh, he's coming over here. Wonder what it is.
Well, he's got someone with him. They both carry knives. They better keep out of their way.
Why, bless me, it's Lafitte himself.
What?
Lafitte, huh? How about it? Do we get the $500?
Now, listen, Michael, I wouldn't be too hasty about capturing Lafitte. He's the best swordsman in New Orleans.
Oh, gentlemen. Well, I see you are admiring my picture, eh? Yes, the one posted by my honored friend, Governor Claiborne. Come now, gentlemen. Don't you find it a good likeness, eh? See, I pose beside it.
Now, listen, Lafitte, you can't...
Don't come a step closer, monsieur. My hand wrongs to grasp my sword. And my companion here has an excellent pistol, which has the unfortunate habit of going off.
See.
Yes, I'm glad you see the light.
Jean, do you want me to put up another poster here, alongside the governor's?
There we are. All right. In just a moment, my friends, I will have a surprise for you. After seeing the posters that Governor Claiborne put up, I was quite offended. They're so cheap, so poorly made. Now, my friends, look at my poster. Read.
$15,000 reward for the capture of Governor Claiborne of Louisiana. I'll pay $15,000 to the man who will bring this august personage to me. Signed, Jean Lafitte.
I am hurt, I say. deeply hurt that I am only worth $500 to the governor when he is worth $15,000 to me. And so, my friend, if you wish to collect the reward, bring the governor to my stronghold by tomorrow evening. Au revoir.
Strange as it seems, when Jean Lafitte saw Governor Claiborne's posters advertising a reward for his capture, Lafitte had some posters made offering 30 times as much for the capture of the governor. Later on, in the Battle of New Orleans, Lafitte fought so bravely for the United States against the British that he was pardoned by President Madison. The Horse Nobility. The beginning of the 16th century. Nicholas Mavrogene, governor of the ancient province of Wallachia, orders the nobles of Wallachia to prepare to take up arms in defense of the Turks, who control the province. But the nobles refuse.
Noblemen, since you have refused to take up arms as I have ordered you, I will give you but one more chance to prove your obedience. Groom, lead the horses from their stalls. You see lining up before you the horses of my stable. Each one of them is a fine animal, descended from Berber stock, capable of great loyalty. And now, nobles of Wallachia, I command you, one and all, to mount these horses and follow me to battle. Take care. I am in no forgiving mood. Very well, then. Silence. Silence. I have the Turkish Empire behind me and can do what I like with you. Since you do not consider me worthy of your obedience, I do not consider you worthy of your title. Silence! Irova Valeni, Count of Rovindri.
What do you want of me?
Rovindri, I strip you of all your estates, your wealth. Instead, I now bestow the title of Count Rovindri on this horse. As for you, Valeni, I banish you from Wallachia forevermore. Dalshu, governor of the province of Krushova, you are next.
No, I will not let you take away my office.
Dalshu, it is too late. I now take your office from you and bestow the title of governor of Krushova on the horse next in line. From now on, he will be entitled to the revenue from the province of Krushova.
You cannot do that.
And listen to me, the rest of you proud nobles. Before I am finished, every horse in my stable will have a noble title. May this be a lesson in obedience to you forevermore.
Strange as it seems, the governor of Wallachia actually did take the titles away from the disobedient nobles and bestowed them on the horses in his stable. This horse nobility existed for several years, until the end of the complete Turkish domination. Robert E. Lee, Confederate or Federal? April 18, 1861. Robert E. Lee, gallant, loyal Virginia gentleman, is one of the Union's most valuable leaders. General Winfield Scott, hero of the Mexican War, has pronounced Lee the greatest living soldier in America. It is no wonder that Abraham Lincoln sends Frank Blair on a special mission to Lee's Virginia home.
Sit down, Mr. Blair.
Thank you. Colonel, when you were superintendent at West Point, the discipline improved 100%. You are a remarkable leader of men.
Thank you very much.
Colonel Lee, civil war looks inevitable. Your state of Virginia is going to secede from the Union. I'm afraid we're going to have to take up arms against the South in order to preserve the United States.
I wonder if a Union that has to be preserved by swords and bayonets is the right sort of Union.
Unfortunately, the sword seems to be the only way to settle such bitterness. And that's why I've come to you.
Yes? What can I do?
As spokesman for President Lincoln, I offer you the command of the United States Army.
That's a great honor.
You are the man we need, Lee. A man who is a great leader. A man whose soldiers would die for him.
You don't know what you ask of me.
I know it's hard to take up arms against your own state. But your country must be greater than your state, Lee.
I must think this out. Can you let me have a few hours?
Why, certainly. And I hope for the sake of the Union that you'll remain loyal.
Well, Colonel Lee.
Why, what's wrong, Colonel? You look tired, old.
I lost 10 years of my life last night, Blair.
But you did finally reach a decision?
All night long I walked, hoping to God that I could gain help from the stars. There are times when a man can't find an answer in his own heart.
Don't be afraid to tell me your answer, Lee.
Blair, I must refuse President Lincoln's offer.
Don't say that.
I'm bitterly opposed to secession. I loathe the idea of civil war. I've never approved of slavery. Several years ago, I gave my own slaves their freedom. But I can't take up arms against my own people.
The Northerners are your people, too?
No. In times like this, Blair, my people are my neighbors, the men whose homes will be ruined by battle. Go back to President Lincoln. Tell him that I'm honored by his faith in me. To have the confidence of a man like Lincoln is the highest kind of compliment. But if the Union's disrupted and we take up arms against each other, I will remain with my people and share their miseries even unto death. Goodbye, Mr. Blair.
Strange as it seems, General Robert E. Lee, the great Confederate leader of the Civil War, was offered the command of the Northern Army by Abraham Lincoln. He refused. And has become the symbol of Southern chivalry and independence. Here's an incident that took place in a typical American home. Let's listen.
Hello? Oh, hello, Dorothy. Fine, how are you? Why, what's the matter? Yes, but I... But, Dorothy, you don't have to take those old-fashioned remedies. I know, but just listen to me for a minute. I'm surprised you don't know about X-Lax. Why, everybody takes it at our house. It tastes grand, just like chocolate. Uh-huh. But that's not all. It's not only easy to take, but it's mild and gentle, because my druggist told me it's a correctly timed laxative. It takes 6 to 8 hours to be effective. Well, that's all right. But listen, Dorothy... There's one more thing. If Bob or the kiddies need a laxative, give them X-Lax, too. It's fine for everybody. Oh, don't thank me. Thank X-Lax. Goodbye.
Shakespeare was an expert on modern slang. On the next broadcast, you will hear some amusing and very modern expressions which Shakespeare wrote in his plays. You will also meet the real Bluebeard. And hear his terrifying story. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, directed by Cyril Armbruster. Your mechanical refrigerator does not destroy heat.